بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Our topic is Tawheed or monotheism. As you know, generally speaking, we can divide people into two groups. Those who believe in some God and those who deny any kind of God. So those who deny existence of any kind of God, they are called atheist. Okay? So an atheist person is the one who does not believe in God. And those who believe in God are called theists. Okay? From the Greek term theos. Theos means God. So theist means a person who believes in God. And those who believe in God may have different ideas about the nature of God, about the number of God, about qualities of God. So there are different types of people who believe in God. In other words, there are different kinds of theism. We Muslims, Christians and Jews and some other religions, we are called monotheists because we believe that God is only one. There is only one God. And this is what we call Tawheed. But the depth of Tawheed in Islam is much more profound than Tawheed in any other religion. For example, in Christianity, although they are classified as a monotheistic religion, because all Abrahamic religions are considered as monotheistic religions, including Christianity. And if you ask Christians how many God you believe, they would say one. But the problem is that at the same time they say they believe in Trinity. But they think that there is nothing wrong in having these two together, to believe in one God and at the same time believe in three persons. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully in the Quran tells us that God can never be imagined next to anything. God cannot be considered something as equal to anything. In Surah Shura number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة. This is Surah Shura number 11. Allah says, verily those people who have thought that Allah is one of three or the third of three, they have disbelieved. They are not believers, they are unbelievers. And here I have a quiz for you. You should think about it and find the answer. In this ayah, Allah says, those who believe that Allah is the third of three, they are unbelievers. Yeah? For example, they say, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And say, Allah is one of these three. And in, of course, if you have, you know, more detailed discussions with them, some may say God the Father is superior to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. But sometimes they may just say they are equal. But the question is, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. But elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. There is no group of three people whispering to each other unless Allah is the fourth. وَمَا مِنْ خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ السَّادِسُهُمْ. And there is no group of five people except Allah is the sixth. Okay? So what is the difference? This is my question. I give you time till tomorrow to think about it and bring the answer. What is the difference between saying Allah is the third of three and then becoming unbeliever, becoming a polytheist, a mushrik, and saying Allah is the fourth of three? Okay, think about it, and then inshallah tomorrow we will discuss about it. Anyway, the idea which is common between Islam, Judaism, Christianity, even today, you know, the most recent studies show that even Zoroastrians are monotheists, despite the widespread belief among them up to recent that they believe in two gods. Now checking their original text, they have realized that they also believe in one God. So, despite the fact that we all share monotheism, but monotheism in Islam is very comprehensive and very profound. So what we are going to do in the next few sessions that we have is to get more familiar with Tawheed, with the idea of monotheism in Islam, based on the glorious Quran, on Hadith, and on intellectual findings of our ulama. Okay? So we want to have this understanding of Tawheed. You may have heard that once Imam Ali alayhi salam was very busy in the war of Jamal. You have heard the war of Jamal with the people of Basra. So Imam was very busy, and you know, in war you must be very careful, because if you, for example, for a moment neglect, the enemies would come and, you know, destroy you or destroy your army. So in that moment, one person went to Imam Ali alayhi salam and asked him about the meaning of Tawheed. Some people went to take that person away and take it, you know, to remote place so that he doesn't preoccupy the mind of Imam Ali. But Imam Ali alayhi salam said, leave him. Indeed, this is the very reason for which we have this fight. Although we are fighting with a group of so-called Muslims, they believe in Quran, they believe in the Prophet, but our problem with them is in different way of understanding Tawheed. Okay? So even with Muslims, you may have different arguments about the understanding of Tawheed. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said that we must, this is the, what he implied, we must first discuss about this issue of Tawheed, then we can continue our fight. So you see how important it is. So don't tell me, Maulana, we have come all this way from our countries to listen about the meaning of Tawheed, something from childhood we knew. Everyone knows that God is one. I say, yes, everyone knows God is one, but still there are much more to learn about this. And if Imam Ali alayhi salam was telling that even during the battle, you can have some pause and discuss about this, I think we can have also some pause and discuss about this very important issue. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said, there are four meanings for Tawheed. Two are wrong, two are correct. Okay? The first wrong meaning of Tawheed is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is numerically one. numerically one. What does it mean? It means that you think that Allah is one, but two or three or third or four also can be imagined. Anything which is numerically one. So you can imagine, you can suppose that there would be a second coming, or a third, or fourth. Even if it is not really, actually, at the moment there, but still there is possibility of imagination. Okay? If you say, I have one book, so it means that there is possibility of having two books, three books, four books. Yeah? But when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, do we accept that there is a possibility of having a second God or third God? I am talking about possibility. We know that there is no other God existent. But even the possibility is very damaging. It damages all picture of Tawheed. So Imam Ali said, this is one meaning of Tawheed which is wrong. So what was the first meaning? Numeric. The second meaning of Tawheed which is wrong is to believe that Allah is one individual from one species. For example, I am a man, a human being, from which species? Humanity. Okay? There may be, for example, a fish from the species of fish. There may be a book from its own species. Okay? So, the problem again with this concept of Tawheed is that you think there is a more general nature, a more general quality, or what they call it in philosophy, quiddity, which may have different individuals, different instances. And the one we are concerned with is only one instance of that species. So the problem with this is even more than the previous, because the problem is that you imagine that Allah has a nature in its special sense, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from a species which can have different individuals. This is also wrong. So what is the correct meaning of Tawheed? Again, don't forget that this is when battle is going on, and every moment some people are being injured or killed. But Imam so eloquently explains the meanings of Tawheed. The first correct meaning of Tawheed is this. So from today, if someone asks you, what does it mean that Allah is one? Don't say that it means Allah is one, there is no second or third. Tell one of these two. The first correct meaning is that there is nothing like Him. Allah is one in the sense that nothing can be compared to Him. Nothing can be likened to Him. There is nothing similar to Him. This is much more profound than saying that He is one, meaning that there is no two God, there are no two gods or three gods. Okay? We have in Quran this ayah that you all know. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him or nothing like him. By no means you can compare anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? In no way you can say something is equal or similar or identical to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So this is the first correct meaning of Tawheed. And the second correct meaning of Tawheed is to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, meaning that Allah is simple, not compound. Allah has no parts, no constituents. You cannot say Allah is built up by, for example, body and soul, or by, for example, different physical or even spiritual parts. No. Allah has no parts. Allah is the most simple thing that you can imagine. This is very important. And some people say the difference between Ahad and Wahid is this. You know, in Surah Al-Ikhlas, we recite, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Yeah? Why don't we say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِدٌ? What is the difference between Wahid and Ahad? Yes, do you know? Wahid is more general. Wahid can be applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama ilahukum ilahun wahid. And it can be also applied to other things. In other sense, or in other words, wahid can be numerically used and can be used in the way that we are happy with, you know, in Tawheed. But Ahad is different. You cannot use Ahad for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is, for example, one person, you cannot say Ahad. If there is one book, you cannot say Ahad. And some people say the difference between Ahad and Wahid is this, that only when something is one and no second can be considered, can be imagined, can be supposed for him, in that case you can use the term Ahad. And some people say, if something has no parts, then you can say that is Ahad. Okay? So Ahad is more meaningful than just Wahid. So Imam Ali alayhi salam in this way explained four meanings of Tawheed, which out of which two are wrong and two are correct. What we are going to do inshallah is to classify Tawheed and then explain each type of Tawheed independently. And hopefully by the end we would have a better understanding of this very, very important Islamic concepts. Not only Islamic concepts, of course, all, you know, Abrahamic faith, Islam in its broader sense. And just to show you the importance of Tawheed, I would like to remind you of what the Prophet Muhammad was frequently saying, especially in the beginning of his message, of his mission. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. Say, there is no God but Allah, then you will become happy, prosperous. What does it mean? It means that if you wholeheartedly believe in Tawheed, first of all, you understand Tawheed, and second, you commit yourself to Tawheed, then your happiness is guaranteed. Okay? As also Imam Raza alayhi salam said, كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حِسْنِ فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِ أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِ. This sentence, that there is no God but Allah, Allah said, this is like my castle. And whoever enters into this castle will be protected from my punishment. So whoever believes in Tawheed and declares Tawheed would not be punished. This is the same thing that we have in قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. Of course, as I said, Tawheed is so important that even you may disagree with your fellow Muslim about the meaning of Tawheed, like War of Jamal. And this is why Imam Reza alayhi salam said, بِشَرْتَهَا وَشُرُوتَهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتَهَا. There are conditions for this, and one of those conditions is me. So if you believe in Tawheed, then you must believe also in your Imam. Okay? But it's all under umbrella of Tawheed. So if you have Tawheed properly, everything will be sorted out. Okay, we start with first kind of Tawheed. Our ulama say that the first kind of Tawheed is a Tawheed in respect to divine essence. At-tawheed of al-dhat, or at-tawheed al-dhati. Dhat means essence. So, at-tawheed or monotheism in respect to divine essence. What does it mean? Who knows what does it mean? No, we are talking about essence of God, about the very reality of God. Later we will talk about divine attributes, divine qualities. But about the essence of God, about the reality of God, the being of God. So the first meaning of Tawheed is that Allah is one in the sense that, as we said, nothing can be imagined, can be supposed to be like Him or similar to Him. This is the first meaning of Tawheed. At-Tawheed says that means in whole universe, in whole existence, there is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing can be not only found in reality, but also in imagination, nothing can be found like Him. Okay? So today you have learned not to say that Allah is one in the sense that there are no two or three. That's very simple. That's for primary school. Now you say there is nothing like Him, nothing similar to Him can be found. And He also has no parts. Okay? This is very important. There is a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is mentioned by the great Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 3, page 14. One of the Bedouins went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, apparently Bedouin, someone anyway, went to the Prophet and asked, because some of these people had very good questions, said, ما رأس العلم? If you want to translate literally, it would be, what is the head of knowledge, the top of knowledge? But it means, what is the most important thing that we must learn? What is the greatest thing that we must learn? Okay? Because, you know, there are many things that if you learn, people will praise you. But they are not really beneficial. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that many, many people had gathered around one person. They were very, you know, amazed. And the Prophet was told that this person knows genealogy of all Arabs. So everyone asked, who is my father, who is my grandfather, grand-grandfather? And he was telling them, you know, the right answer. So the Prophet said, this is good. This is a merit, an advantage that you know, compared to someone who does not know this. So this is good. But إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ ثَلَاثَ. But this is not real knowledge. The knowledge is something which helps you in your successful transfer from this world to heaven. This is what you need. And just knowing the genealogy of people, sometimes, you know, we see that our, you know, youths or even elders know, for example, names of all football players, how much they earn, which, you know, team they are playing, and which team is going to take them, and, you know, all these things. I don't know how much would be useful, these things. And how much in the grave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about these things. Of course, it is good compared, you know, to someone like me that does not know this. It's good, advantage. But provided that you know those things that you must know first. First learn those things that you must know, then come to these important issues. So, the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْإِلْمُ ثَلَاثَ. The knowledge is one of three. آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ, which is interpreted as knowing your beliefs, your aqa'id properly. And then, sunnatun muhkama, know your akhlaq. And third, farizatun adila, know your rulings, your sharia. Whatever you want to become, you want to become a scholar or a doctor, or an artist, or a writer, or a businessman, whatever, you are in need of these three. We are not against any kind of science or, you know, any kind of expertise. Islam promotes all different kinds of sciences. But first of all, everyone must learn these three, and then learn those things which are beneficial for humanity, for himself. And thirdly, if you have more time, learn those things that you just, you know, may enjoy without having that much interest or benefit for you. So this person went to the Prophet and asked him, مَا رَأْسُ الْإِلْمِ, what is the most important thing that we must learn? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِهِ, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that you must know Him. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. This is the most important thing. Okay? This is very important. Then the Prophet himself explained, what does it mean to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly? The Prophet said, أَن تَعْرِفَهُ بِلَا مِثَالٍ وَلَا شَبَهٍ وَتَعْرِفَهُ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا خَالِقًا قَادِرًا أَوَّلًا وَآخِرًا وَظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا لَا كُفَّ لَهُ وَلَا مِثْلَ لَهُ فَذَاكَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِهِ. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly means to know that there is nothing like Him. He has no partner. He is the one, the creator, the most powerful, the first and the last. This is very important. What does it mean? That Allah is the first and the last. هو الأول والآخر. This is in the Quran. What does it mean? He is the first and the last. Yeah. Yeah. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything out of nothing. So He was there and nothing was there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be there while nothing is there. But you may think that this happens in future. But this is something which is true even now. And we have this hadith that كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء. Okay, you all know this. Allah was there and nothing was there except Allah. والآن كما كان. This is true even now. Allah is there and nothing is there next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, والظاهر والباطن. Allah is the most obvious, the most manifesting, and Allah is the most hidden thing. Okay? And then the Prophet again said, لا كف له. There is nothing like him. ولا مثل له. Nothing similar to him. And this is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So this is all relevant to the first kind of Tawheed. Of course, some of these things relate to the second also, or the third, but mostly this is related to the first, that Allah has no partner or no, you know, nothing similar, nothing identical, nothing like Him. Then the second kind of Tawheed, which is a bit difficult, that is at-tawheed in respect to divine attributes, divine qualities. At-tawheed of as-sifat. What does it mean? At-tawheed of as-sifat. This does not mean that Allah has only one attribute. Because some people may think, okay, at-tawheed of as-sifat means that He has only one attribute. No, we know that Allah has many attributes. Allah is knowledgeable, Allah has wisdom, Allah is has life, is living. Yeah? So Allah has many attributes. Allah has will. So what does it mean, at-tawheed fi as-sifat? Check your RAM. Somehow, but you need to more explain it more. Yeah. Yeah. Divine attributes are divided into those two. But first, what does it mean that Allah is one in respect to His attributes? Yeah. Yeah, He's the most powerful, but what does that mean that, for example, if we have a group of 10 people, okay, and then they start, for example, wrestling, in the end, we would say, this is the most powerful person. This is the strongest person. Is Allah the most powerful in this sense? Or is it different? Pardon? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? So you want to say that His attributes are absolute? Yeah. Yeah. You know, in the early Islam, there was a controversy about this issue. And some Muslims had wrong ideas about Allah's attributes. This is very important. But we, alhamdulillah, because of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, were saved from those, you know, controversies. So the Shia scholars have had very clear paths. But many, many fights even, not only debates, happened about this issue. Because some people had the idea that Allah has no attributes because they thought that these attributes are all human attributes. If we say Allah has knowledge, then they thought knowledge is something that you learn in a school or by reading a book. Knowledge is something that you may forget. So they thought we are subjecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to these, you know, deficiencies. So they try to negate all these things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, some people had the idea that these attributes are by themselves independent beings. So instead of believing in one eternal being, they believe, for example, in 8 eternal beings. Allah's essence and 7 eternal attributes independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they had very strange ideas. But what we believe, which is backed up also by philosophical arguments, is that, please be very careful, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, has all the attributes which reveals perfection. All the attributes which reveal perfection. Okay? So for example, if you ask me, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sleep? I say no. Na'uzu billah. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Why? Because this is not perfection, this is imperfection. Our need to sleep shows our limitedness. And also when we are sleeping, we don't understand what is happening around. This is the second deficiency. Yeah? And when that happens in classroom, it would be even worse. So, Allah never sleeps. Or if you ask me, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eat or drink? I say no. Why? Because to be in need of eating or drinking shows that you are limited in your being and you are dependent. Okay? Some people, if they don't drink, for example, tea for a few hours, they will go mad. They don't understand. They get easily angry. This is a sign of strength or weakness. But whatever quality which shows perfection, that is certainly first of all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever else has that quality, it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, knowledge. Knowledge is very good. Is knowledge comparable to ignorance? هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Are those people who know and those people who do not know the same? No. You may have heard this story about Abu Rayhan Biruni. You know Biruni? Biruni is a famous Muslim scholar. He was also a mathematician. When he was dying, he was visited by a faqih who was his friend, a jurisprudent. And he was going to die very soon. But still he asked that faqih about some rulings pertaining to earth, to heritage. And that faqih or someone, you know, standing there, told him, you are going to die soon. Why you ask this question? Why do you want to learn more about your Sharia? He said, if I die while I know this, is better. If I die and I don't know this, which one is better? هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ So knowledge is a sign of perfection. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly is the most knowledgeable. But at the same time, you should not think that his knowledge is like our knowledge. Our knowledge is a mixture and combination of knowledge and lots of ignorance. Okay? Whatever we know is limited. You tell me what is the thing that you know the most, then I will show you what are the many things about the same thing that you don't know. What is the thing that you know better than anything else? Then think about it. You will find there are many, many things that you don't know. And a very interesting point someone mentioned many years back, and I never forget that. He tried to prove that it's impossible for us to know even physical beings perfectly by referring to this part of Dua-e Kumail. بِعَظَمَتِكَ الَّتِي what? مَلَأَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah's greatness has filled everything. So, because everything is somehow manifestation of Allah's greatness, and you cannot grasp Allah's greatness, so you never can know something perfectly. Even, you know, scientists who have been working for centuries on, for example, you know, physical materials, on, you know, atoms and whatsoever, still what they don't know is much more. And still there will be chance for expansion of knowledge. Okay? So our knowledge is limited. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. But Allah's knowledge is not like this. Or we use concepts, we have mind, we have memory. Okay? But Allah's knowledge is not based on mind or memory or concepts. So you must be very careful. When you talk about Allah's attributes, don't take it in a human sense. For example, we say Allah is living, Allah has life. But does it mean that Allah has a heart which beats, blood circulation? Allah may have, na'udhu billah, heart attack when he sees what we are doing? No, he will never have a heart attack. He's more patient. So Allah's life is different from our life. Okay? So we must be very careful. If something shows perfection, that is first of all originated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if there are some mixtures of perfection and imperfection, you must be careful to negate those imperfections. Okay? So I think this is enough for us today, and inshallah tomorrow we will continue with our discussion about At-Tawheed Fas-Safat. So in respect to divine attributes, and then inshallah we go to the rest. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah we will talk about different aspects of Tawheed and dimension of Tawheed. So some people may believe in Tawheed in the sense that they believe that there is only one God, they believe in Tawheed al-Safati, okay? But when it comes to worship, they are not monotheists. Or even in theory they may be monotheists, but in practice they may be polytheists. This is a good question. They believe in one God. Okay? They all believe in one God. But their understanding is different. And I personally prefer that we emphasize on this point. Because there are some Muslims who are very much, you know, insisting that we should not say our God is the same as God of Christians. And some Christians also do this. They say God of Jesus is different from God of Muhammad. Okay? To make people, you know, frightened from God of Islam. But I say God is the same. We have different understandings of God, but God is the same. God of all prophets and all humanity. And this difference of ideas may be even found in Muslim world. Our understanding of God is different from Wahhabis. Yeah?
Mullah Sadra's understanding of God is different from a person on the street. You know, great philosophers like Avicenna, like Mullah Sadra. So the understandings are different, but God is one. And this is very good also for bringing people closer, you know, to each other and to Islam. We shouldn't say God is different, you know. Of course, we believe that our understanding of God is the best. But we say your God is the same as us. Even some mystics had the idea that even idols worship our God. Those idols are not really what those people worship. They worship those idols because they mistakenly think that those idols somehow represent God. Of course, the principal idea is in the Quran, but some people make it, you know, even more. Allah says that these people say, وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرَّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ الزُّلْفَى. We do not worship this unless we want these people to make us closer to Allah. But mystics like Ibn Arabi say that even when they are worshipping those things, they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Khomeini also had this idea in his tafsir of Surah Al-Hamd. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. Because there are different ways of interpreting this. Some people say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ means we only worship you. It means we as monotheists, we as Muslims only worship you. But Imam Khomeini said that maybe it means, maybe, that all humanity only worships Allah. Who is there that does not worship Allah? Even idol worshippers, they worship Allah. Even those who worship money, they worship Allah. Why? Because they are after the most perfect thing. For them, the most perfect thing is money. So there is a mistake here. But the real point is that they want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the most perfect thing. Anyway, we must, I think, emphasize on the fact that God is the same. Okay. Thank you very much. So you will have tea and